Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Never Alone Faith Over Cancer podcast. Hi, I'm Blaine Millett, your host, and I want to thank you for spending some time with me today. My hope, as always, is that you walk away with more hope, more encouragement, and more peace in your journey with cancer. Today, I get to introduce you to a friend of mine, Doug DeFau, and it's a real treat because I've known Doug through our church, and he's been part of our online group for a while now. But Doug was diagnosed with prostate cancer back in 2012. But here's the part that stopped me the first time I heard it. The year before his own diagnosis, he lost his wife to cancer. And then, 8 years after his surgery, just 2 years short of the magic mark of 10 years, where the doctors tell you you're in the clear, his numbers started going up again. So Doug has walked this road twice, actually, and what he'll tell you today is that the difference between the first time and the second time had nothing to do with medicine. There is so much in Doug's story that we couldn't fit it into one conversation, so this is part one. Part two will follow shortly, and I'd encourage you to listen to both of them because they are a very rich, and I know the story will give you definitely a lot more hope and encouragement and faith. So without further delay, Doug, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Blaine. Good to be here.
We really appreciate you taking your time, and I'm looking forward to, I've heard your story before, but every time I hear it, I get inspired by it. So I'm looking forward to hearing it again as well. So without going into, you know, me spending any more time on this, why don't you jump into, you know, just telling us your story in your own words, where it is, and give us an overview so everybody knows what you've gone through and where you are today.
Okay. Well, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2012. Actually started having symptoms 2011 and went through a whole year of different tests, PSA tests to try to get a baseline from that. Had surgery, had my prostate removed, and also had about 12 lymph nodes also removed, as they wanted to make sure there was no cancer in there as well, which at some point I'd like to talk about just the side effects of treatments and that as well, because that's part of my story. I went after surgery, they had noticed that there were cancer cells on the opposite side of the prostate when they removed it. They weren't sure if they had gotten everything or not, and it was going to just be kind of a wait and see and test process. I went through 8 years of being tested. Started out every 3 months, went to 6 months, then went to a year. And each time my numbers were close to zero, to a point where the doctors said there were no cancer that was showing any signs. And then all of a sudden, within that 8 year period, I was getting really close to 10 years, kind of in the cancer world, our magic number we like to talk about, where when you hit 10 years, you can feel like you're out of the woods. It isn't going to come back. My eight-year mark, all of a sudden my numbers started to increase. So they started sending me for more testing, make sure that those numbers were accurate, there wasn't a lab error. They were accurate, the numbers were going up. The only way, once your prostate has been removed, the only way your numbers would increase is if there were cancer cells. So they knew that the cancer probably didn't really return. It probably was just there, but just dormant and slow to move. They suggested that I get radiation treatment, which I knew was probably my next best course of action. So I went through 16 weeks of radiation, and that was every day at 11 o'clock. I went down for treatment to downtown Seattle. I was living in Seattle at the time. Once those treatments were done, they retested me, and my numbers went up even higher. And they were a little bit surprised, not quite sure why my numbers would go up so high. They sent me for a PET scan, which didn't really show anything. So at that point, my radiation oncologist turned me over to another oncologist for the next phase. He decided that he wanted to continue to test because the numbers were a little erratic in how they were going up and down. So we went through 3 months of testing, and the numbers started to go down. At one point, it went back down to zero again. And bless the Lord, they've stayed at zero for the time being, and I'm hoping that's where they remain. So that's kind of my journey. It's been an up and down. I'm not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm kind of at a cautious point in my life.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's, you had a lot of moments there where things were going up then down and up and down. Maybe you could talk a little bit about, so where was God in all this journey with you? And, you know, where did he show up, and where did, you know, on these ups and downs, how did that, you know, how did that test your faith? I know there's a few questions there, but
yeah,
maybe you could.
Sure. When the first time I was diagnosed, I had kind of moved away from God. My wife had just passed away in 2011, and she died of cancer related. It was actually the treatment is what it ended up in the end taking her life. So I went through a real period of anger and kind of pulling away from God, and as so many of us do, you wonder, why me? Why is this happening to me? And then within a year of her passing away, all of a sudden, I was diagnosed with cancer, which really made it harder and did not push me closer to God. It actually pushed me further away and a lot of questions. So the first time I went through it on my own, and probably being unaware of everything made it a little easier, but often felt alone and a lot of times really asked the questions, you know, why me? Why is this happening to me? In that meantime, I had gotten remarried, and my wife has a very strong faith, and one of her requests from me was to give the church a try again. And we went to church in Redmond called Timberlake Church. And I really enjoyed it. I really started to, felt like I found a home there and that. So when I got the diagnosis that the cancer was active again, then I really reached out to God. That one hit me, I think, even harder because there was a defeating moment where I was like, wow, am I going to get past this? And I reached out for prayers from the church. They, in turn, connected me with a cancer support group. And really, it was through everybody there that really helped my faith. I was meeting people who were battling cancer for years or had battled it, won, and have their faith was so strong. It really just pulled me in. It really helped me a lot. And that helped me through the entire process and all the treatment in that. It really gave me a sense of calm, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyone going through cancer and has to have treatments, it's a scary thing, and treatments have side effects, and you really need family, friends, loved ones, but you need God on your side. You need Him there, guiding you and saying, "I've got you. Don't worry, you'll get through this."
So. Okay, so that's a really interesting component you're bringing up here. That, you know, you were like probably the majority of people that when, you know, something like cancer strikes, it's the why question, right? Why me? Why am I going through this? And if you're a good God, why are you putting me through this? And we all, you know, everybody goes kind of through those questions, or a lot of people do. But I think the interesting part that you bring up here is, and this is a topic we can talk about, you know, as we go along here, but it's this community, right? Community, because I think God works in bringing people to help bring us back to Him. And I think that's not all the time do we hear from God or you know, the Holy Spirit. We don't get some, you know, amazing revelation all of a sudden that we need to go back to God, right? But there's people in our life, like in this case, your wife, where she prompted you to go back to church, and you found the right, you know, found the right church, and people were very supportive, and all of a sudden here you are in the middle of a community that is very supportive, and your faith starts to go up, your faith starts to increase, you start to say, hey, you know, maybe I did miss something here. I mean, I think you bring up an incredibly big point, which is without that community, without those, you know, your family, without friends, without some of that, it's really a tough road to go on your own.
It is, and I think the first time, you know, when you're diagnosed at first, you kind of want to be alone for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people, it's a real shock, and it's definitely a fear. There's a scare in there, and many people, and I was one, you kind of just want to close all the doors and be alone and
right.
to grasp on your own. And some people that can work. I think in more cases than not, when you've got the community around you and family and friends and that, it really helps you. You know, you really can relax and concentrate on the task at hand.
Right. Yeah, I hear that, and you know, running the cancer group here at Timberlake, I can tell you, you know, because one of the questions I ask all the time, which is one of the reasons we started the website, was so many people hunker down and they just go, I can't talk about it. I don't want to be around a lot. I just need to burrow in and deal with this. And I think that's more of a natural instinct from people than I got to reach out to a ton of people, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's really, I think that's really a big point, Doug, is that you felt that way. So when you were kind of hunkering down, was this after you had started to go back to church and you were starting to get reconnected with God, or where did that fit in?
The closing off, where I was closing off people, or
yeah
it was really before.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was the period of time where, you know, I was there was a lot of anger, there was a lot of questions. I was questioning, you know, I think the question so many people ask is, you know, why would God do this? Why would He put me through? You know, we see we hear terrible things in the world, and we always ask, I mean, that's, I think, probably the number one question we ask is why does God allow it in that?
Right.
And I went through that, and I guess I was still there. You know, I was still praying. I was still believing. I hadn't pulled away, but I had a lot more questions and a lot more of, I feel like I have to do this on my own.
Yeah.
The second time around, when I had become more involved in the church and meeting and talking to other people, that's when I really felt like, no, I don't have to do this on my own. And in fact, I'm not the only one going through this. And I think when you go through cancer, you tend to think of it as just yourself, that mm-hmm. you're going through it. But you're not. It's everyone around you. You know, in my case, it was, I had three kids. They had just lost their mom. Now their dad had cancer. And, you know, I didn't think about them at first, but later I was like, yeah, you know what? This is hard on them too. They're going through it also. And when I got remarried, you know, my wife knew I had cancer. And when it came back, she was there supporting me. But she was going through it. I knew there was a fear mm-hmm. in her mind. So I think it's important to know that you need others, but at the same time, the others are going through it too. You're not going through it alone at all.
So let me go back to one comment you made, because, you know, when you said you went and there was the cancer group at church, and the people in there were going through it, but they had, at least if I understood that right, they had pretty strong faith in what they were going through. And that. So tell me how being around those kind of people, right? So being around people who were deeper in their faith and were going through the same kind of journey, how did that help you, or did that allow you to give more of it to God and say, you're right, you know, look, I need to step up to this. I just need to have God back in my life to really take charge of this. I mean, how did that play out? Because it sounds like they were a big influence for you.
They were, and I think the biggest part was that their faith seemed to get stronger, you know, with every time maybe a new form of cancer or a different side effect from it came up. Their faith got stronger. They relied more on God and asked and prayed and that. And that really amazed me. I mean, I was like, wow, this is, you know, how easy it is to just give up and point the finger and say, why are you doing this to me? But that wasn't at all what this group was doing. They were more faithful and more really believing that in their prayers there would be healing, and there was healing. And, you know, we had people in the group that came in, had a different kind of cancer. Everyone prayed. Prognosis was good after treatment, and they went on with healing and that. So, you know, for me, I felt like, wow, this is such a strong group, and believing that, yes, prayer is helping. And I believe in my case too. I've reached out. The first time I did not reach out to anyone for prayers and that. The second time I did, and yes, it's been up and down, and you know, there are moments when you just are down. It's just the way it is. But the prayers would help lift me up, and then, you know, then things would get better, and I'd be like, okay, it is working. So
right. So why do you think, what's your, you know, just personal kind of opinion about why do you think their faith got stronger when they were, it's almost like when they were going through even tougher times, or as the times even got tougher, you know, you're saying their faith even got stronger. I mean, that obviously is counterintuitive to most people, but it's, I mean, I found that to be the case with, you know, doing this cancer group as well. But I'd be interested to hear your perspective on why do you think that's the case?
I think you get to a point, you know, in life we try to solve our own problems so many times. And, you know, whether it be financial, whatever. When you're battling illnesses and that, that's out of your control. You cannot take care of that on your own. And I think, you know, that's what people were, they were diagnosed with cancer, the cancer had come back, a different form of cancer, whatever was the case, they knew they couldn't do it on their own. And they knew that they needed God there with them, and that he was going to comfort them. And if they didn't survive, they knew that they were going to a better life and that. And I think, you know, you have to come to a really good mindset. And that's what I looked around, and this group had really come with a good mindset of, you know, the Lord's with me, and I'm going to tackle this thing. And if I come out ahead, that's wonderful. And if I don't, then I'll be with the Lord someday.
I mean, that's awesome. That's where he wants all of us to be, right? Is, you know, as Paul said, you know, to live as in Christ and die as gain. So he wants us all to be at the win-win option, as I call it. It's a win-win option. But, you know, one thing that's interesting to me, you know, is as you talk about that, is what about this whole idea of, you know, we talk about trust and surrender a lot. And it's almost like until you can surrender, I mean, authentically surrender, not say, okay, yeah, I'm going to give some of this to you, but I'm going to continue to think about it, you know, do all this on my own. But when you absolutely, truly get to a point where you just say, I'm done. I know this is not for me to battle. This is, you know, I need God to do this for me and to be with me and to help me through it and guide me through it. I mean, did you experience some of that or see that even in the group, that there was definitely a point where people are just going, you know, that's it. I'm giving it up. I'm surrendering it all to God and trusting Him in what happens, where it goes, and what's going on, and that they would get peace from that. Did you see that?
Yeah,
or feel that?
I definitely saw that of some of the members in the group. I think when I went through my radiation treatment, that's when I kind of said, okay, it's in your hands, God. There's nothing I can do. I can physically go there for the treatment, but I can't do anything else. So I'm giving it to you. And that, I think, is the toughest thing, because for me, at that point I surrendered, but I don't always do that in other parts of my life. So I think I think it's a struggle for all of us that, if we're really honest with ourselves, we're human beings. We want to be able to handle our problems, and face them head on, and to just have that trust and surrender is tough. But when it comes to treatments and diagnosis and that, I found that's when peace came, when I was just like, right, I'm not going to have anguish. I'm not going to have worry anymore, because it's not getting me anything. It's not, yeah, as Jesus says, it's not going to buy you another day, by worrying about it. So, I think that's a key part, and that's what I felt with them. Yeah. That's what I really noticed is, yeah, they trusted and they surrendered.
Yeah. Did you, you know, let's talk a little bit about prayer, because you brought that up and said the group is really an active, you know, they were actively praying for each other. And so where was your, maybe talk about before this, where was your prayer life? Where did it go to, you know, through this being part of the group and part of going through cancer, and of course your wife having, you know, influence on that of bringing you back to church? Maybe just, you know, spend a few minutes and talk about where prayer was in your life.
Yeah, I would say my prayer was an on and off thing. Definitely, you know, I think a lot of people go through this, when there's tough times, you pray. When times are good, you don't pray. When it really got tough and I knew, okay, I was in for a battle, I started praying a lot more. But what came out of that, I think, is more important, is my prayer life now is I pray daily. I pray 2-3 times a day. And I work really hard at trying to establish that relationship with God and you know, having a conversation. Even if my prayers are short, it just giving thanks for everything that I have. And so I think it's been a journey for me. It was mm-hmm. prayer out of fear, but it led to just prayer to have a relationship.
Right. So what would you tell our listeners that are going through this right now? And they're probably many of them in the same spot where you were going through this. They're going, well, yeah, it's getting pretty bad right now. I think I better pray a lot. Right. But when it's not, I'm not, you know, I don't pray that much. Or, I mean, what could you, you know, what would you tell our audience about from your perspective, the power of prayer?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, it's not a bad thing to pray because you're afraid, because God's listening to you. He already knows, right, but he's listening. So you're already starting that dialogue, which I think is that's the most important, is to start the dialogue, to get to feel that comfort that you're actually, you know, that you're talking to God. And then after that, I think it's being thankful, because when you get through that journey, don't forget what you went through. You know, be appreciative and live every day thanking God for what you have and that. And I think most people that get on the other side of cancer have a different view of life. They don't take things for granted anymore. And in your faith, that's super important, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, you make a great point. I mean, I've gone through it, and I absolutely look at the world in a different way today than I did before. And I do thank him every day, right? So my prayer life increased dramatically, and you're right, I do the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of praise going on when I pray, because that's a great, great statement, because your life is very different wherever you end up through cancer, right? But it's your life is never the same. One kind of side question I'm curious about, did you start reading the Bible more? Did you start doing more reading of, you know, maybe other books? Or did you dive more into the Word as you were going through this? Or where was all that in your
life? I did. And for my journey, so I started to, you know, I went to the New Testament, started in John. I kind of found I wasn't getting as much as I wanted. Like, and for me, it was an understanding. I'm part of Bible study groups, and it's great to hear everybody else's viewpoint, because it really teaches you, and you can learn things. But for me, it was in church, and the pastor had mentioned something about a Bible app, and so I downloaded the Bible app, and I found devotionals. And for me, devotionals helped a lot, because I could pick the ones that I wanted, and they were all tied to scriptures. So I was studying the Bible, but in a different way. It was for me, it was a direct relationship to what I was going through, and then being able to put those two together. So, and I've encouraged a lot of people the same way. Is, you know, it's sitting down and reading the Bible can be tough. Can be very tough. You really need to have more than one person and be in a group and really, really study it to understand it. Bible apps and devotionals, I think, are a great way to understand what is written and how that relates in your life, and find comfort in it. That was a lot of comfort I found through all the devotionals.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And I think everybody has a different way of doing that, right? Whether it's a book or the Bible or devotionals or something, but it's being connected to the Word, I think, is the right way to think about it. Being connected to the Word daily is pretty important. At least I found it that way as well.
Yeah, in our first the first group that I was in, the support group for cancer, we had a book that we were reading that I found really useful. There was two different books. One was just okay. The other one was really good. And it was just telling his story, but he was relating it back to the Bible. And it made a lot of connects for me, and that helped as well.
Yeah. Maybe going back to, you know, kind of your journey and where you were. Were there any specific, what I would call kind of God moments that stick in your mind now that you're going, yep, I knew right then God was showing up for me. God was, you know, talking to me. He was guiding me. He was there directing some. I mean, were there some of those moments in your journey that stick out in your mind that you could share with people?
Yeah, a couple of them. I think the biggest one for me was just how God put people in my life to help me and to support me. And maybe the first time around, I wasn't ready. and you know, we all try to rationalize what's in God's mind, which none of us can do. We just have to accept it. But sometimes I wonder, maybe I just wasn't ready and I wasn't in the place, and he knew I wasn't in the place the first time around. The second time around, I had people there that really helped me get through it. And I knew I wasn't alone, and that helped. And I think the other moment was when I met with my oncologist after I got gone through radiation and my numbers went back down to almost zero. And he says, I can't explain it. I don't know how to tell you why this is happening. And I said, well, maybe just God stepped in and he said, yep, that would be as good an explanation as I could give you. And so I kind of felt that way that, you know, maybe that is the, you know, God stepped in and said, okay, you've gone through it. You've gotten what I want you to get out of it.
Right.
Wow. What a powerful and amazing conversation that was. I want to thank Doug for his honesty today. He didn't clean any of it up, if you noticed, for us. He told us about the anger after he lost his wife, and he told us about closing the doors and trying to carry it alone. And he told us about how a group of people, a church whose faith somehow got stronger as his got harder, and how that pulled him back to God. Wow, that's just powerful, powerful words, Doug. And then that moment with his oncologist, the numbers came down and the doctor says, I can't explain it. And Doug says, maybe God stepped in. And the doctor agreed that that's as good an explanation as he's got. Now, we're not done. There is so much more to Doug's story. And in our next episode, I turn the conversation around and ask him about you. What he would say to you if you've just been handed a diagnosis. What he'd tell your family who are frightened and don't know what to do with it. And what he'd say to you if you're at the darkest point right now and you're not sure you can do this. I'd highly encourage you to come back for that one. Some of his answers surprised me. So no matter what you're facing on your journey with cancer or even in life, just remember that you are never alone. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are always with you and ready to help. All you have to do is ask. Give it all to Jesus and let him go to work. So may God bless you, and thank you for listening.